I desire your prayers as we look into God's Word. I'd like you to turn with us to the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I'd like to talk about knowing the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When we think about knowing the Lord, I would think we all have our concept as to what it means personally to us to know Him. And at the same time, as we look in God's Word, He reveals to us every time we have an opportunity to hear His Word, have devotion for Him to reveal Himself to us, He gives us the spiritual knowledge and understanding of what it means to know Him.
Yeah.
There are many people today that I say have their own personal concept and what it means for them to know the Lord. And oftentimes, they're a bit off the beaten track. And oftentimes, although they may be sincere, they lack understanding. And we understand also what we know of the Lord today and how we knew the Lord in times past, say the very first day that the Lord saved us and cleaned us up, the very first day that God sanctified our hearts, our knowledge, our understanding, as we went through the trials and tests of life, began to increase to the extent we began to know the Lord in a different way than we once knew Him. So even today, we can actually say from day to day, God shows us something about Him and what it means to know Him. And it's not always a trial or a test. Sometimes it's just an instance in life where He flashes Himself to us and we see it and we embrace it.
Yes.
And we reckon in our heart that we don't want to ever do anything to lose that understanding and that vision and that conception of God's Word in our heart. Inception, I would say, for us to receive it and to become ours till we truly know it. Now, we have people in the world that say, well, God knows me. He knows my heart. He knows my heart. He knows that I'm His child, and He understands I've been with Him. I've known the man for so many, many, many years. But, you know, the problem is, with that is God does know our heart.
Yes.
And it's one thing to know of God, but it's another thing to know Him.
Yes.
He sang a song in Sister Zenobia Willis's funeral a couple weeks ago. They sang a song, and I can't tell you all the words to the song, but I know you're familiar with it. You've heard it many times, and I've heard it many times. Heard about a Savior ever since I was a child. Then it goes on to say, but I really came to know Him
yes.
when He came into my heart. That is day one. That is the first real knowledge and understanding of us knowing the Lord. Now, we were all taught to some degree about the Lord. We were taught what it meant to have a relationship with Him, not just a mere acquaintance, but really know Him. Now, there's no question about Him knowing us. The scripture in Matthew, 139 Psalms, likewise, in the first chapter of Jeremiah, maybe the third and fourth verse or so, it tells how the Lord knew us even before we were formed, even before we were conceived. He knows us. That's not a problem. He's omniscient. He knows everything there is about us from our inception. He knows all about us the time that we press a dying pillow and leave this earthen vessel. As long as we're in this tabernacle, God will be showing things about Himself to us, and we will be having experiences, and we will be hearing His word in the Spirit to where we can say of a surety, I know the Lord, but I know Him better, and I mean to know more than I know now. Yes. That's the kind of heart that we keep open before God, because there's always something to comprehend that we really don't have yet. But we certainly don't want to lose anything that we have. We want to hold fast to the things that God has revealed unto us. We want to know Him for who He is. We know Him personally as a Savior and the pardoning of our sins through the power of His precious blood. We know Him healing our hearts. And there are times that we've known Him when He healed our bodies. We know Him through the power of the Holy Ghost that came and took up abode in our hearts when we abandoned ourselves to Him. I'll say abandoned. I believe, and I can just go by my experience, the understanding that I have when I gave my heart to the Lord, and it was about probably a month later that the Lord dealt with me to go on to perfection. And I went down to the altar, and the Lord witnessed to my heart. It was just a real lively thing. He witnessed to me that He had taken up His abode in my life. And it seemed like there was a new kind of light in my life. There was a definite wonder in my heart and life when the Lord saved me and cleansed me of my sins. But it seemed like it was something else that boosted my life and clarified some things and gave me a greater, I would say, I know what the scripture says, He'll give you power. And I felt the power of God in my soul. And I knew that the Lord had come in and taken up His abode in my life. And it made me joyful and happy to know that not only did I have Him with me, that I had Him in me. And that He was going to control my life. He was going to lead and guide me in the way that He'd have me to go. And He would uphold me, and He would sustain me. And through the difficulties of life, that He would keep me in His divine care. And so, we, as we go along in our experience, I say again, it's a very personal thing. And then at the same time, it's something that every saint of God can relate to. We begin to testify about the goodness of God and how the Lord talks with us and walks with us and how He reveals Himself to us. It's not foreign language. It's a new language that we speak when we really get to know the Lord. You can say it's a Beulah Land language. However it is, we speak different than the world speaks. We speak differently even than the religious world speaks. According to the experience that God has given us and our preparing our hearts to receive Him as our personal Savior and preparing to receive Him, the Holy Ghost, in our very bosom, our very life, there is a working there that's undeniable. It's certifiable. It's infallible. In the sense, it's a truth that no one can change or alter. No one can talk you out of it. You really have it. You really have it. Now, I realize the enemy can deceive. One of the marks of my first pastor, and one of the things she preached on very, very often, is not being deceived. And we heard messages along that line with regularity. And is it the 2 Timothy? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, keeping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Those are some of the key scriptures that were used. And of course, third chapter, I think it's 1 Timothy. In the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. We heard that type of preaching often. And it was always a warning, don't be deceived. Do not let the enemy deceive you. And so that was drilled in my heart and mind. And when I got married and moved to Wichita, Brother Williams taught very often about division. As a matter of fact, I imagine it's still in the inventory at the Faith Publishing House. He wrote a tract on division. And he was hard talking about division. And I think Brother Gerald's uncle, Brother Raymond Johnson, his burden for preaching was preaching on the church.
That's right.
That's just about all the messages that I heard him preach. But he had a clear, definite vision and understanding of the church. One of his relatives was speaking lightly of him to me one time. And I really didn't appreciate it, and I think they understood I didn't appreciate it. I let them know I didn't appreciate it. Because I know the kind of good, I know the kind of truths that were planted in my heart, and I know how the Lord blessed him to be able, it was very plain, and it wasn't something you had to just chew on all the time. It was just something that God revealed about the church through the preaching that the Lord gave him. It was usually the same kind of subject, but it was again and again and again. And as the Lord, as you meditated on the Word of God, God just clarified more and more and gave you a revelation of His church. And that revelation was such that it would be very, very, very difficult for someone to shake you from it. Be very, very, very difficult. I'm not going to ever tell you it's not possible. It would be very, very difficult. Once those truths are rooted deep down into your very soul, and you meditate on it, you think on it, and allow the Lord to take your life in the direction that He would have, then He clarifies and calls you to realize you're going to see many, many things as you go along in life. And you're going to have many, many experiences. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to deter you from the knowledge that I've revealed unto you about myself. And revealing his revelation about himself is about the church too. Because he's the head of the church. His place in the church is such that how can we omit Jesus and the place that he holds, the position that the Lord placed him in, he was worthy and he alone was worthy to fill the place that he fills in the body of Christ, the head. May God bless us. This is all knowledge of the Lord. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. The way God ordained it is that everybody have a clear, definite vision and understanding about what Bible salvation is, what sanctification is and what it is not, and what divine healing is, that it is a blessing. It's not just an option. It's as long as you obey the Lord, as long as you go through your trials and tests, God will strengthen your faith, and you will eventually get to the place where you can learn how to trust Him for the healing of your body.
Yeah.
And of course, it helps when you have examples, prime examples around you, where people are being raised from dire sicknesses and life-threatening conditions on their body. And you can see it. And you witness what God has done. It's not easy for the devil to shake you from that. Where you begin to go back and start trusting man, if you ever did. Some never did. Some of the saints' children, that's all they knew, was trusting the Lord. And that's some good knowledge. But you can't live it unless you're walking in the truth of God's Word. And those truths and that knowledge can escape us if we don't stay on the King's Highway. I'm thinking, it's Hosea. It's Hosea, the sixth chapter. Hosea 6, the first three verses.
Come and let us return unto the Lord.
Yes. 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 We will have those experiences in knowing God too. There is going to be some rent sometimes. God's word is a two-edged sword, and it will cut sometime. And there will be some experience that we have from time to time where we need God to heal us and bind us up. But you know, when the healing comes, is when we submit ourselves to Him and His Bible truth and say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I wasn't privy to it, or I was not in the place that I needed to be. But Lord, I won't be found in that place again by the grace of God. I will move on, and I will allow you to reveal yourself to me. And I will count very precious the truths that you reveal into my heart. I won't cast them aside. I won't question you about it. I won't try to match wits with you about your holy word. But Lord, I'll receive it just like you give it to me, and pray you give me understanding. The scripture, I think that's in Timothy also. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. It's not, you're not going to understand very much if you're not even considering that it is truth, Bible truth. So when we consider the Word of God, God will enlarge it, and He will expand, and He will make very clear and definite to our heart that truth is vital. And you do a dangerous thing, you put yourself in peril of the enemy, you put yourself in peril of deception when you do not embrace all of my truth. So, I don't think I gave you a chance to read it yet. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. After 2 days, said He'll revive us. This is talking about the children of Israel, house of Judah, house of Israel. Of course, they backslid. They backslid on the Lord, and they were, for a time, you could say, an apostate church. However, the Lord had mercy upon them, dealt with them. They went after idolatry. The scripture said they went a-whoring after other gods, which is what they did. And the Lord had given them strict instruction that they were not to learn the way of the heathen. They were not to learn the ways of those that they conquered. That lived in Canaan, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Amorites, and all the differentites, don't learn their ways. You're going to be tempted to, because everything is not going to be a rose, a bed of roses for you, but you are going to inhabit homes that you didn't build, and you are going to be able to enjoy the blessings of vineyards that you never planted. And you're going to have gold mines and silver mines, and you're going to have everything that a man could wish if he learned how to be content with all things. And so God prepared them for it, and then God blessed and gave them what they needed to be able to possess that land. It was a wonderful land. It was a blessed land. And they were all so happy to have it at the first. But He said, you make sure you drive out all of the heathen. You be sure and drive them out. And there were a couple. There was some land they never did fully possess. But they left their remnants behind them. And they were not to touch. They were not to touch anything unclean, like idols that were used, that they bowed to and caused their children to walk through the fire to appease. They were told, don't you go into that land and learn the ways of the heathen that were before you, because it is an abomination to me. And so, as the Lord worked with him and dealt with him, and they began to sense and appreciate the sense of their freedom, not only from Egypt, but to have an opportunity to possess their own land and to be stable, to have habitations that were not only something that was just common ways, but everything, palaces and rich land and property of those of the rich, they had the privilege. If it was within the thresholds of their possession, it belonged to them, and they could do with it with wisdom. And so God blessed them in every way that a man needed to be blessed. And it seemed like, especially after being in Egypt and being slaves and being under the auspices of violent and brutal men, they would have been so happy with God, what God had blessed them with. But it's something about humans where the grass seems to be greener on the other side. Well, I wonder what would happen if I picked up this idol. I wonder what would happen if I started praying to it. And you know, those things are a temptation to people, especially in time of tribulation, where the devil is talking and he's accusing, well, how can a God really be God if he lets these forces come against you? How can God really love you if he allows tribulation and affliction and adversity to come your way? That's where your faith and confidence in God, and that's where your knowledge of God comes into play. You don't know him just because, we don't know him just because it was just passed down to us through the ages. No, we get to know him because he did something personally for me. I know he did it. There's no question in my mind. It wasn't a dream. I wasn't in a trance. This actually happened. God did this, and the reason why I know it because he gives me power to manifest his life every day of my life. He gave me power that I don't have to go back again. I don't ever have to go back again. I have knowledge and understanding to know that if I go back, I put myself in a position where I may never get to know the Lord again. Why would I throw away something so precious as knowing him? That's always a mystery to me. It's always a mystery to me how someone can really know the Lord and then back up on God and go back to the pit they were digged out of and be satisfied to rest there. There is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no rest out of the thresholds of God. And so, as it were, I want you to know me. You can all know me, but it's your personal responsibility to know me. It's the minister's responsibility to preach the word, but they can't make you know. That's going to have to be your decision. And you're going to take that word, and you're going to let the Lord work with you in it, and you're going to allow the experiences of life teach you the truth of those words to where you get a good foothold, and you don't go skimming. You don't go to the right or the left and get just as close to the thing that's wrong as you can without actually doing it. Well, my God, help us. Help us, Lord. If you're going to do that, you already have it, seeds of it in your mind. So, what better are you? How are you going to be delivered from the same things all over again when you're actually doing all you can to just get as close to it as possible? Don't you know the devil has his weapons also? And he'll use his weapons, and one of the things that he uses is discouragement. And again, he's a deceiver of the brethren. He's an accuser of the brethren, but he's all, excuse me, I didn't mean deceiver of the brethren. He's an accuser of the brethren, and he has ways of manifesting things to you. When you are sympathizing with the thing, he'll show you some things that'll trip you up and cause you to begin to rethink your stand on the Bible truths. And so, God help us. And God calls us. Whatever knowledge God has given to you, embrace it and hold to it with your life. Hold fast to God's eternal word and truth. He wants us to know Him. Again, it didn't matter so much. You said, well, the Lord knows me. Yes, He really does. And I'd be chagrined sometime if I thought of it on those terms, that God knows me and He understands me. He knows my shortcomings. He knows the things that I need to be perfected on. So why am I going to boast about God knowing me? I don't quite get it. I don't understand it. He does know us. He knows our frailties, truth. At the same time, what He does know about us is if we're godly sincere about living for Him. And when we are godly sincere about living for the Lord, He will allow Him to turn the things that seem to harm us into everlasting joy. His word will be substantiated time and time and time again. I wonder again. I don't comprehend some things, but that's not a bad thing. Some things I really don't want to ever understand. I just really don't want to understand that type of a thing. But God knows. He gives us what we need, not only to stay saved, but be able to reach out to others, encourage them. Now, I'm thinking also that the Lord has a way of showing Himself strong to every one of us. Now, the Scripture says, let the weak say I'm strong. Now, you know, if you go around saying, well, I'm just a weak man. I'm just a weak person, and I just can't help it. You're just going to have to understand me. I'm just kind of weak. You know, you'll never make it like that. You'll never make it like that. God is our strength. God is our light. And we rely on His strength, then we can know of a certainty that He'll carry us through anything, any and everything that He allows to come our way. But if you hold a position, and you know, I'm weak in certain things, I'm just not able to do so well, you know, that's just as good as the devil wants to get you sympathizing with weakness, when he has made it possible for us to have the grace and strength that we need to face the foe, whatever that may be, to be able to be more than a conqueror through the mighty God. It is up to us to press the battle against the gates. Now, this scripture says the Lord will mend the tears. He'll mend the places where we've been smitten. God will do that. He did that spiritually for the children of Israel. When a person goes back on God, God doesn't just throw them away. He said He's married to the backsliders, and He continues to woo after them. But you know, there's a line that's crossed by rejecting the Lord. And so that is not a good position to put yourself in, to cast aside something that God has made plain, Bible plain, crystal clear to you, and then you walk away from it. Not a very good decision at all. And so, God showing His mercy and His kindness and His grace to them, He not only told them He was going to heal them, and He was going to bind up the places that needed to be shored up, He was going to make certain that where you're coming from, I'm going to establish you in a place where you're going to know me. Now, you knew me through certain eyes in one generation, but now I'm going to do something different here. Everyone's going to get to know me. Everyone's going to have an opportunity to have experiences with me that the Lord will reveal to them and cause them to not question God's word, but to embrace it with all of our heart and live it out in their lives. But he said, you'll really get to know me as you follow on to know me. That's one of the keys of getting to know the Lord. That's why the stopping and the starting, I'm doing good on the mountaintop, then slack up and get on background, and your knowledge and your understanding is damaged, And then it's almost like trying to retrieve it all over again. That's why a sound, consistent experience with the Lord is the way for us to go. In the 8th chapter of John, maybe it's the 30, 31st, I'm not quite sure where that is. 8th chapter, 31st verse, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Continuing in the word of God. You'll know as you follow on to know. Which means that we are to walk in all the light that he shines on our pathway. We can't pick and choose. Well, I know it's God's word, but that's a little tough for me right now. I don't think God will mind if I just set that aside for a little while I'm a little stronger, feel a little better. I really have too much I'm dealing with. I have more than I can carry right now. Do you really believe that God would reveal the truth unto you in light and understanding, and you were so heavy laden that you couldn't grasp the truth? That's not so. That's the enemy's ploy to make you feel like that you're overladen, that you're carrying above and beyond what you should be carrying. Didn't he all say in his word that he knew how much we could bear? Didn't he say very clearly he wouldn't put more on us than we're able to bear?
Yes.
And so why is it that we would accept a suggestion from the enemy that what we have to deal with is above and beyond what should be required of an individual? All the Lord's trying to do is get us to heaven. And we're not going to be able to get to heaven unless we walk as close as we can to him. And that means walking in all the light that shines on our pathway. Sometimes we discriminate. Sometimes we say, well, if I hear from two or three other ministers, then I'll consider that might be true. You know, that brother, that sister, you know, they kind of harp on certain things from time to time. Sometimes you don't know whether it is accepted or not. Folks, if it's God's word, I would be very careful to accept it. If it's God's truth, then it would be very wise for you to accept God's truth. Really doesn't matter who the individual is, who the vessel God uses to tell you the truth. God wants us to accept his word however he chooses to send it. If it's a little child, God wants us to accept his child. Matter of fact, the scripture speaks about his people being so subject and submissive to God and his word that a little child can lead them. So we don't know what medium God's going to use to reveal himself unto us, but God wants us to build on the knowledge that he's given us. And he wants to heighten our understanding and our sensitivity toward him, that we can really know him. Not just for ourselves, but so we can pass a word to others that need to be enlightened in God's word. I don't forget what chapter it is in Isaiah. It says he gave him the tongue of the learned, that he might know how to speak a word to them that are weary. So, God help us. He needs the voice and the knowledge and the understanding of every one of his people. We don't know who we're going to meet from time to time. You don't know who will need a word of encouragement and inspiration from time to time. God help us to be always ready to give the kind of answer, the kind of hope that he's given us. God has given us something that anchors our soul. He's given us something that causes us to want to share it with someone else. All right, reading on just a little bit more. Thinking of Job, the 19th chapter of Job, 25th verse. Job made it through his great affliction and adversity because God had revealed some knowledge unto him, and he did not let the devil beat him down about it. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know it. Now that took some boldness and courage. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. And you know, not only was the devil speaking to him and telling him things that were discouraging, the brethren were speaking some discouraging things to him as well. But he said, this I know. This much I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know he's alive. I know it. And he couldn't say because he dwells in me, he lives in me. But he had accepted God's dealings and workings in his life. And God, I believe the Spirit of the Lord abided with him very closely. And I believe he kept himself in a condition where God's Spirit stayed by close. You know, we can do like Peter and walk afar off. And we can be like Peter and get in a hard place. And someone confront us about whether we really know him. And we can do like Peter and say, I don't know the man. Well, probably truer words were never spoken. At that moment, he didn't know him. But he went out and he wept bitterly. And he was able to be restored. And after he humbled himself, and the Lord showed him that I knew this was going to happen. And this is something that you'll be able to use as a strength, not only for your own soul, but you'll be able to strengthen the brethren. Don't ever allow the enemy to think that you're so strong and you're so equipped that the devil can't overthrow you if you get lax in your experience. So Peter was a bit discouraged. He was a bit discouraged. And that's when the devil pounces on you. And when he got discouraged, the boldness and the courage that he had, he realized it was his own self-determination. And he didn't really have the goods. But when he got sanctified, he had what he needed. He stood up before thousands of people and declared that they had crucified the Lord and declared he was King and Lord of the entire world. He said things that at one time he had no grace to speak. And so God knows how to bless us. He knows how to increase the knowledge and the understanding that we have. But we're going to have to follow on to know him. We can't stop and have little times of rest and rectitude, so to speak. God knows when we do need a little time to rest for a while. But it's not a time when the war is going on. We're right in the middle of the war, right in the middle of the battle. God knows how to give us a reprieve, but we can't decide ourselves that I just need to get away from it all. Well, God knows, and he'll provide for us. If we need to get away from it all, God will provide for us and bless us and help us to be able to hold fast what we have, that no man take our crown. So I'm thankful tonight for the Lord's dealings with his people. I appreciate how the Lord will bless us to know as we follow on to know him. It means everything for us to continue as disciples. You know what a disciple is. That's what the Lord told to go out into the world and not just preach the gospel, but disciple souls along the way of life. Show them the way. Not only preach and talk to them, but demonstrate to them how they are to live before me. I want disciples. I don't just want a lot of people going on, great numbers. God has always been able to do great things with just a few people. But then he adds to that. It started out, just so to speak, a handful of disciples. And it got so that there were people in all the known world that got to know about Jesus and gave their heart and life to him. There was no continent, no state, province, district where the Lord was not known, especially Asia and Asia Minor. And then it spread from there on to other places. Thomas went to India where he was martyred. And first one and the other went to traveled long ways with God's grace and courage, preached the gospel. Sometimes they were able to shake their feet and go somewhere else. And sometimes that's where they met the Lord. That's where they were martyred. They were killed one way or another. And they got their reward. Their life work was ended. And so God knows what he is doing. But our knowledge and understanding of him should be one of the most precious things that we have. We ought to hold fast to it. We don't want to tamper with it. We don't want to play with it. We don't want to do anything That will cause our comprehension of what God has spoken to our hearts, what He has shown us, not only in word, but in deed. Shown us places in our life where that word held steady for us and caused us to be able to go through on Bible terms and caused us to be able to rebuke the enemy and resist the devil and continue to keep on keeping on by the grace of God. But it depends on you and I continuing to move on in the direction that God leads us. Continue to take one step at a time. It doesn't really matter how fast you go. It doesn't matter whether you seem to go faster than someone that has been saved for a while. I tell you, you can go so fast the Lord will have to stop you and slow you down. And then people that you thought were slow will pass you up. And then you realize it doesn't make any difference. Lord, if that's how you want to take them on. But Lord, help me to learn the truths I need to know so that I can be stable and sound in my experience with you. And help me, Lord, not to compare myself with myself. Because you're not looking at that. You're not you're not encouraging any kind of competition between saints. What is that? That's emulation. And that's something we're not to do, is to emulate one another. So God knows how He wants to use us. And He knows when and if we're ready to use in whatever capacity that He desires. But the most important thing is that we're ready. Yes. We're ready every step of the way. Be also ready, for in such a day as you know not the Son of Man cometh. But also be a ready minute man for God. Yes. The Scripture says all things are now ready. He said everything's ready. Everything's at the disposal of souls when they accept the gospel and they embrace the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God takes up its abode in their lives and the Lord can live out the life of Christ through us. Then we come to understand that what God recognizes, what He sees that pleases Him is His Son in us. When He sees us, He doesn't recognize anything else. He doesn't recognize anything but Himself. And when He sees His Son in us, then, thank God, we are His children. We belong to Him. That's what will bring what is needed so that God's kingdom can expand and prosper in this earth. We heard something about lifting the Lord up. Well, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. When we lift Him up and we have Him on display, then the Lord can work. God help us and God encourage us along life's way. Thanking those that survived the collapse of the Twin Towers. I understand the firemen were going up the steps as the people were coming down. And they would tell them, keep moving, keep moving. And of course, the air was polluted with dust and ash and from all the destruction that had been done. And there were people that wanted to sit and talk. And they said, no, keep moving, keep moving. And when those that made it outside, then there was somebody there to tell them, run, run. Stay away, get away as far as you can from the building. Now, these men were going up, and they knew there was very little chance of them surviving. They understood there was very little chance. No one knew probably that the building was going to collapse, but they understood and knew. They were seasoned firemen, and they knew what happens in a situation when there's a fire in a building, and there's going to be deterioration, and structure, whatever it is no more reliable. And so, as they were going up and they were coming down, they were encouraging them, get on your way. Don't stop for anything. Because if the building, the rocks and the the debris from the building wouldn't kill them, then the air was so thick with dust and ashes and so polluted that many of them were going to die from breathing in that air. And so, after they got out of the building, he said to run. And some of them ran. and some of them survive. So it is with you and I. When God delivers us from the power of the enemy, the way for you to go is to keep going down. Keep going down. Keep humbling yourself before God. There's a lot you don't know. There's a lot more knowledge that you don't know than you do know. And as time goes on, you come to that and you acknowledge it. It sounds at first, as somebody says, well, that's like a slap in the face. I've been saved for so many years, and you're going to tell me what I know is much less than what I don't know? That's just the truth. That's just the truth. I'm testifying to it. Then you know what you know is good, it's wonderful, but there's a whole lot more that God has to reveal to you if you just keep moving. But you're going to have to go down. You're going to go down into the dust of humility. You're going to have to stay down sometime. You're going to have to live down there sometime as God is dealing with you until He has done what He wants to do with you and you acquire the knowledge and the understanding that I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. That's a lesson, and it's not an easy, it's not a short course, it's a lifelong course that we take. I'm going to have to stay down. I'm going to have to stay down. And then as the Lord deals with us and brings us to the place where He wants us for that season in our life, then we might get to run. We might get to move a little faster. But you know, learning how to lean on God, learning how to trust Him, learning how to submit ourselves to Him right away, that's another lesson of life. Don't drag your feet. Don't drag your feet when God shows you something. Put it into practice as soon as you can. Put it into practice. You don't really know it and have it until you do it. When you put it into practice, then God will open up our understanding and give us comprehension that we'll never have if we don't put it in practice. Just to know it and have it hid in our heart, that's good, that's wonderful. But it doesn't stay hid. It rises up and it defends us and it fights for us and it causes us to be able to defeat the enemy of our soul. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's a warning, and at the same time, it gives you power and grace. Because as you embrace God's word, you have something to fight the devil with. And so, God bless us. The knowledge that God has given you, hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. Whether you consider it little or much, it is the most precious, let's say one of the most precious things that you possess is an understanding from God, that you understand Him. I probably didn't read a scripture. That you know me and understand me. Let's see, 31st chapter we read. Maybe this is the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. 23rd, 24th verse, perhaps. Anyway, would you read that, please? Where? Now, sometimes we just have to run for our life. Sometimes that's what God requires of us. And it doesn't mean nothing physical about it. It's that God gives us an impetus to move, and we move. But one thing we must do is keep a steady pace of going forward for the Lord. We can't sit back and try to evaluate the things that are happening in our life and then around the people that we love. We can't sit back and evaluate those things. We're not going to know very much until God tells us. And when we seek Him with our whole heart, He'll tell us what we need to know. He'll teach us how to pray. He'll teach us how to stand firm. May God bless us, encourage us. Do you have that scripture? Yes. 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 God help us. Yes. Lord, help us. Glory. That's the pride of life, isn't it? say is that, at least that. God help us. It's not like we deserved anything from God. Not like we did anything to deserve anything from Him. And He's going to be gracious enough. He's going to condescend to reveal Himself to us, show us Himself, give us knowledge and understanding, and we're going to feel exalted about it. God help us. God knows how to balance that out with us. And I'm glad He does. We're just earthen vessels. And God is pleased to store His knowledge and understanding in us. God help us to do right by Him. To do right by God. And to allow His word and His ways to be so grounded in our life. Never taking anything for granted. Don't take anything for granted about yourself. Don't take anything for granted about the devil. He's more than a match for you, so don't even try to deal with him ever. Just rebuke him, get behind me, Satan, and then you keep going. Don't even wonder about him. People that have wonder about mysteries, I'd like to know about why this happened. I want to know what this means in the Bible. You know, if you just stay with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll be doing well. You can just obey the things that nobody can obey, Matthew, the 5th chapter, unless they're saved. And the Lord knew that. You're going to have to be saved and sanctified to obey that truth. Obey the truths of the Word of God. You're going to have something from God. You're going to have Jesus in you to be able to obey that Word. Said, well, it's frustrating. Why would the Lord put that in there? And it's so hard. You're going to have to humble yourself and seek Him with your whole heart. Get a hold of the kind of graces that it's going to take for you to put those scriptures into action. They're a challenge. Jesus knows that you can't live it without being saved. Jesus knows you won't have peace and rest in your life by the things that are going on in your life unless you submit yourself to Him and let Him have His way in your life. So God bless us that we might know Him and we might know Him better. Paul said that we might know Him in the power of His resurrection. We might get to know the things about Jesus in this present life. I know we're all looking forward to knowing Him, get on the other side. But the challenge is to know Him now, to know Him on this side, to be able to defeat the devil. Not inquisitive, not curious, but I want to get to know the one that gave His life for me. I want to get to know Him. And I want the knowledge that He's given me not to be something that I set aside, but I want to be able to use it to glorify His name. Just would you get your song book? And then I'd like to, for you to, 106. First verse, you can read that. Someone read the first verse, and number 95. 224, just a verse and the chorus will be fine.
I know
on whom my faith is fixed. Again, you're going to have to put forth some effort to really know Him for yourself. Put forth some effort that you'll be able with a holy boldness, not just face the enemy, but the times that God gives you utterance to speak to others, that there be something behind it, that there be some anointing behind it, that there be some power, some conviction behind it. So they realize this isn't just a run-of-the-mill testimony of I'm a born-again Christian. No, this is someone that has a possession. God help us. I know the one. Who I fix my faith on. I know Him. I must know Him. I must know Him to trust Him. How am I going to trust somebody that I don't know? And I would say that is one of the problems of those that are not able to truly trust the Lord. They don't know Him yet. They don't really know Him. Oh God, help us. Help us not to be vaunted because we know what we know. As I say, there's much more that I don't know, and I know I don't know it, than what I know. But I want to hold precious what I do know. And I want to keep my heart open for the things that God desires to reveal into my heart. I know in whom I faith and fix. I know in whom I trust. I know that God abides in me and all His ways are just. What can you find to complain about if you know that? If I know all God's ways are just, what am I complaining about? Where is there room for me to complain? That first verse by itself is saying a mouthful. I know in whom my faith and fix. I know in whom I trust. I know that Christ abides in me and all His ways are just. All right, number, did I say 95? First verse, would you read some of those? Yes. Yes. That's something we must know, that we love the Lord first and foremost. I love you more. I was listening to my grandchildren talk one time when I was out there, and they were speaking to someone, speaking to their mother, actually. Love you, Mommy. No, Mommy said, I love you, son, said his name. I love you more. Everything he said, I love you more. Just, you know, Lord, help us to be like that. Lord, help us. I love you more. Whatever the enemy brings before you, whatever way he tries to tempt your flesh, even your fleshly mind, I love the Lord more than any earthly joy. You're talking about joys that are going to pass away. They only last a short, short time. I know I love you more than my life. I know I love you more. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I know I love the Lord more. Love Him more than fashions. Love Him more than anything that the enemy would like to tempt you with. I love you more than any earthly joy. And what else did it say? Thou hast given me the peace which nothing can destroy. That's power-packed, isn't it? I know this. That's what we're saying. I know it. God help us to know it more. God help me to know it more. All right, number 224. I know you can almost pick a verse. All of them are very good. When I read how my Savior was nailed to the cross for the sins of the world to atone, I feel so unworthy. Such suffering and loss. Now, what do you think? What do you think they're confessing that they know what they mean? I know what it means. I know what the Lord's suffering is. Are they testifying that I'm fellowshipping His sufferings? I know in my heart what it means to sacrifice, to be willing to lay down your life for the brethren. I know in my heart what it means. Salvation. You know, that's wonderful to know what it means. But you know, it's very, very easy to forget how we got that salvation. That word so divine. God help us. That's how you finish. God bless the reading of His word.